we were talking about Longhorn head coach Steve Sarkisian and Sark addressing the media yesterday, then, of course, the Houston Touchdown Club, and then a Texas Fight event last night. Then he's on his way to Los Angeles today, going to hang out for a couple of days with the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay.
You say that with such pride.
With relish. Anyway, he'll be there. He kind of is in a tight-knit group, friends with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, Matt LaFleur of Green Bay, and then the other guy he mentioned is Mike McDaniel, who is the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And you said, well, what's the connection there? He was the 49ers offensive coordinator. He was Shanahan's offensive coordinator last year. He had been the run game coordinator in 2018, and then last year he was the 49ers offensive coordinator, finished seventh in the NFL in total offense as well. So
I was thinking about Mike McDonald, the former Michigan defensive coordinator, or I guess he is the current Michigan defensive coordinator. I don't remember.
Yeah, but Mike McDaniel is the Miami Dolphins.
That makes a lot more sense.
He's another young guy, went to Yale. I mean, look at that young mind there, Jeff. You know, so this is the young faces of the National Football League, and those guys who have those bright minds. And Sark enjoys being around them, talking to them, so they all have really good synergy and outside the box thinkers.
That 2011 Washington staff.
Yeah.
McDaniel, yep. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, all on the same coaching staff.
All on that same staff. So they know each other, and Sark exchanges ideas with them. And like he said yesterday, last night at the Texas Fight event, going to see if he can find a couple more touchdowns in L.A.
So there's four guys, includes Sark, that's five. Do you know what all five of those guys have in common?
What's that?
They branched off from the Bill Walsh coaching tree.
Yeah, there you go. So that's that whole minds thinking alike, motif. Yeah. So they're all involved with that. So that's what he's doing today. And CB says, does Sark have McVay's initials tattooed on? No, he does not. So he does not have that. So we're going to hear some comments a little later on when we get past the bottom of the hour from David Pierce with regard to the hot button topic in college baseball, the cancellation of games for RPI purposes.
We're talking about it after the game Tuesday, because he Danny Davis is the one asking the question. Danny asked him the question, and to coach's credit, he had his speech prepared, and we're talking about it afterwards. Like, yeah, probably if none of us asked him about it, he's probably prepared to discuss it anyway, because he's got some pretty firm opinions about it. And real quick before we move on, though.
And I did ask him, by the way, when we were in the dugout, before we usually meet for about 30, 45 minutes before every game and go over a lot of things that are on his mind and the team and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, I'm going to ask him about this. I didn't even have to. Pete Sousa was filling in on Longhorn Network, what with Keith Moreland still convalescing and recovering from his heart surgery. And Pete asked him something about it there, down in the dugout, and so he said some things, and then afterwards we talked a little bit about it. So it's going to be very similar to what you hear in the soundbite coming up.
Yeah, I mentioned Bill Walsh, and by the way, Pete Carroll's from the Bill Walsh coaching tree, because he was George Seifert's defensive coordinator with the 49ers, and that Bill Walsh coaching tree, it's got a lot of branches.
Immense.
On it.
It's like a Dean Smith basketball coaching tree.
Exactly. A lot of things in football. We were just talking about Nick Saban. We're talking about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. We'll get to that in a second. That's the Bill Parcells coaching tree.
Yeah.
Is where that thing comes from. But if anybody knows where I can get a copy, and maybe this is a Chris Beard question, because Chris Beard says he has one. He's just got to go dig it out of storage.
Yeah.
If anybody knows where I can get a copy of the Bill Walsh book, Finding the Winning Edge, and I don't have to pay like $500 for one on Amazon.
Yeah, right.
Or if you know a library in the area that has one to check out, please let me know.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Like I said, we'll hear from David Pierce coming up just past bottom of the hour with our Longhorn Notebook. We also have a Flex 30 segment coming up. But it's probably going to be at least in terms of college football circles, the hot topic of the day, and this may sustain a little bit. First of all, and Snoop, can we hear Coach Saban's comments first from last night at the event in Birmingham, where he was drawing an analysis with regard to, or at least trying to set up for what, comparing and contrasting today's age of name, image, and likeness. But Nick Saban has never been anything but blunt, and he was pretty blunt in his comments about how they went about getting their recruits as opposed to those at Texas A&M.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
Yeah, so those were the words there. And, of course, everybody really latched onto the words, A&M bought every player. That kind of thing.
Can I get the one thing real quick before we get to this audio? It ties in. Shout out to Big Craig on Twitter tweeting at me to mention only Jimbo could upstage the Mexican pizza return.
I'm telling you, it's the return of Mexican pizza, Taco Bell, but it has been upstaged. Between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Remember, Jimbo was an assistant under Nick Saban, was his
at LSU,
on that national championship team of 2003, his defensive
Will Muschamp was on that staff. Derek Dooley was on that staff.
Yeah,
a lot of guys that came. Bo Davis was on that staff. A lot of guys that went on to become head coaches or in college assistants.
So he knows him pretty well. Obviously, has had a small measure of success against him in the regular season, but. Not yet in the postseason, not like what finally when Kirby Smart broke through with the national championship game last year. But those comments about Texas A&M, quote-unquote, buying the recruits, so, I guess infuriated is a good word, so upset Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher that he called a news conference that happened just a little while ago in College Station to specifically address those comments. Now, this is what, just the opening statement, right?
This is just the opening statement.
This is not a Q&A in a news conference. This is Jimbo Fisher's opening statement in response to the comments made by Nick Saban about Texas A&M buying every one of their recruits in their signing class.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way. Or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right, but we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit there at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing. And we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. I promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men. who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
So there it is. I think the count at the use of the word despicable was 5. When he said despicable.
Allen Iverson scoffs at Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
If you're going to hone in on one word, really own it. No, that is, like I said earlier, Craig, this is because you think about where we were last summer, right? And the first, I'll be 100% honest with the listening audience. The first time I heard about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, I saw it as like a rumor on Twitter about a couple days before it happened. I'm like, that just sounds so absurd, so outside the box. Like, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. And then about 72 hours later, we were where we were. So I said, like, each year it feels like we're just in a fever dream for a few months between like the end of spring ball and the start of media days. That's where we are. We're full tilt into it. Where do you stand on this one way or the other, Craig, in terms of the NIL stuff? Because technically, where Nick Saban was right, if you go back and listen to the entire audio, like the entire clip, where he's right is that the purpose of NIL was not to
create a payroll,
induce recruits to come to your program.
Right.
It was not supposed to be a recruiting tool. It's really supposed to be, how do you take care of your student athletes once you get them in your program?
That's correct.
To where they can profit off of their name, image, and likeness.
That part is correct. And when folks ask Sark about Bijan Robinson and the Lamborghini, the ready response, and he had it again last night, was, here's a guy who's been on campus and ended up meeting. It wasn't they didn't go to him. He didn't go to them. It ended up being a chance meeting where he started talking to some people. He said, if you know Bijan, you know what a great student he is, what a great kid he is, what a great guy he is. He goes, that's what the true definition of name, image, and likeness is all about, that a company then would want to be associated with that student-athlete, and they create that relationship. That's behind what it's supposed to be designed about. It's not intended to be what is being alleged by coaches of other programs, and in this case, Nick Saban, about Texas A&M, that they quote-unquote bought players and that this payroll was created and all that other kind of stuff. And that's what. And because there are so many loopholes, open-ended things, and non-hard and fast rules regarding the types of compensation, the amounts of compensation, and the distribution of compensation, because there are so many gray areas in this, it's going to create these kinds of issues and conversations and, in some cases, problems for certain schools and programs and athletes.
What could have prevented this is if the NCAA had done something when all these state laws went into effect. If they had done something, but they didn't do anything. And now it's laughable that they're trying to form committees, trying to do something about this. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's done. Nothing's going to change until the state laws get changed. As Rod Babers has said it better than anybody, the state laws were made vague and open-ended for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're at the point now where the NCAA is toothless. They can't do anything. And what's the one thing the NCAA doesn't want? Like, this is the point I keep trying to drive home that I think some people miss. What's the one thing the NCAA doesn't want? They don't want litigation.
Right.
Fear of litigation is how they run their entire operation. So nothing's going to change in the NIL world until one of two things happens. One, the state laws change. Or two, big-time Power 5 college football breaks away and becomes its own entity where you can have a commissioner and you can have things put in place to where you can have NIL caps per team, NIL caps per player, and things of that nature. Otherwise, you're just going to keep going down the same road. And you know what? Truth be told, even if A&M did do, let's just say Nick Saban's right, and A&M, everybody in that signing class was bought and paid for. Okay? If it's within the framework of NIL and it falls within state laws, okay, you may not like it, but there might not technically be anything wrong with the way they did it.
Right.
If you're going by state laws. So, I don't know. It's one of those deals. There is no honor among thieves type thing. We're talking about college football coaches, but just I mean, for Nick Saban, like I said, it was one thing for Nick Saban to come out and name programs, which he would be one of the last coaches I would expect to do that. And then for Jimbo to just, you could tell, and I've seen some A&M writers on my Twitter timeline suggesting this, and I don't think they're that far off. You could tell this is something Jimbo Fisher's wanted to get off his chest for a while, and I don't think they'll be playing pickup basketball games with each other anytime soon.
Well, you mentioned one of the other programs you talked about was Jackson State.
Yeah.
Coached by Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders has responded on Twitter, Coach Prime, says, "You best believe I will address that," and in capital letters, "lie Coach," in capital letters, "Saban told tomorrow. I was awakened by my son," Shedeur Sanders, "that sent me the article stating that we paid," Deion, by the way, "paid" is spelled P-A-I-D, not P-A-Y-E-D, "but that we paid Travis Hunter Jr. $1 million to play at Go JSU Tigers football. We as a people," capitalized, "don't have to pay our people," capitalized, "to play with our people," capitalized, end quote. So there it is. Deion Sanders unhappy about it as well. So it's definitely going to bring about quite a bit of conversation.